Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Pete, I thought
they were going to be friends. I thought they'd be friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know what the WrestleMania match is, Pete.
We all knew.
We've known what the WrestleMania match is since October.
Yeah.
But yet, Pete, when Jey Uso hugged Sami Zayn, I was like, they got me.
Yeah, they did it.
I was like, since October, they've worked me beautifully here. Yep. What's the WrestleMania match going to be? Oh, no, he super kicked him right in his stupid dumb face.
Yep, there's a super kick right there.
Yep, that's a super kick.
That's it.
Right there.
God.
Well, we're going to talk about this incredible main event angle. Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of Monday Night Raw here on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Please do press the thumbs up and press the subscribe button because I am Luke Owen, D-A-D. That is Pete. And just going to get plug out the way quickly.
Yes.
Our moderators will be putting this into the live chat for you. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing a live stream Q&A session from a brand new location on YouTube. We're going to be in this studio.
We're going to be here.
Physically, we will be here.
Yes.
But broadcasting from a different YouTube space because
yes.
We're going to be launching a brand new... What's that noise? I don't know if I want to do it in here now. The ghosts are going to come and get us. Maybe they're booze.
Mm.
Because it's about video games. We're doing a video game movie channel, kind of based on the book that I wrote a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing some video essays. We're going to be recording them tomorrow in the next couple of days. So we're going to be doing a live stream Q&A from that channel.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get ourselves to 1,000 subscribers because that's what YouTube wants us to do.
Yeah.
YouTube basically, if you're starting a brand new channel, is just like, get to 1,000 subs and 10,000 hours watch time, and then we can have a conversation about treating you seriously. So it's like, cool. So there is the link is being posted into the chat now. So please do go over there and subscribe. And we're going to be doing a live stream Q&A tomorrow. I just want to kick things off here, though, with a comment that really caught my eye, Pete. It's from the Pride of London, who says,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, KO is my boy, but he's been a real knobhead. I like that a lot.
I mean, yeah, but also, no.
Yeah, okay, I mean, I think we should group all of this together.
Yeah.
When talking about this, because
yeah.
This was a bloodline show in a
mm-hmm.
way, opened with the bloodline, closed with the bloodline.
As it should.
Absolutely, as it should.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, sit here every Tuesday morning watching the thing at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
seething because all the cool stuff happens on SmackDown, not the show I get to review.
Yeah.
I just get to watch the 3-hour pre-show for SmackDown every
yeah.
week. However, this week was the first Raw in quite some time, I think. This actually felt like we're moving things forward.
Mm.
This felt like an actual must-watch episode of Raw because we're on the road to WrestleMania.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we said last week, the whole show was like, watch next week. And you know what? I would have been real mad if this week's show was watch next week, but they didn't. They actually did stuff.
They paid off on stuff.
They paid off on a lot of stuff. They said, like, Cena's going to be here in a couple weeks. We're going to have Logan Paul and Seth Rollins. We're going to have all this stuff on this show. you should tune in for this show. And they did make it worth your while to tune in for the show.
Yeah, they'd advertised ahead of time it was going to be Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa. Mm-hmm. And then before Raw started, they announced it was Sami Zayn versus Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Mm. Oh, boy. Not even the news that Vince McMahon and his Adam's Family mustache backstage could deter me away from being excited about Sami Zayn versus Jimmy Uso.
I legitimately, when I heard that news this morning that Vince has a mustache now, I lost my mind a little bit. I was like, this man hates facial hair. What's happened? He's losing his mind.
I didn't even think. Apparently, he's dyed his hair as well.
What?
Yeah, he's dyed his hair. Like, not like green or anything like that, but has dyed it so it's not grey. He's having a midlife crisis at the age of 70 odd.
This guy's, he's losing it. He's actually losing it.
I mean, maybe this is a different topic for a different video, but I think potential buyers dropping like flies is probably not having the best reaction to him.
Oh man,
there was one report that said like there's only two potential buyers now.
Yeah,
it's Saudi Arabia and Tony Khan.
Great lineup.
Crivens, that's not great for Vince, is it? But either way, that's a different topic for a different day. It's not even the news that
I'll buy it. I'll buy WWE. Oh,
if we could get together $6 billion.
No, I'll buy it for like a fiver. If he's out of options, and he wants to buy it for, I'll chuck him a fiver.
I think if it comes down to WWE's being sold for £5, there might be a few more offers on the table. I don't think we're going to be the only people clubbing together around the office. Terry's chipped in 25p. That'll get towards
the
fund.
Chuck us a quid?
Andy, chuck us a quid, will you? I'm a bit short. Dave Bradshaw stiffed us when he gave us 50p. But anyway, not even that news could deter me from... I was so excited to tell Ollie as well. I was like, Vince has grown a moustache. Can't wait to tell Ollie.
Yeah.
I was so excited for this. Show opened with a car arriving. Mm-hmm. The Bloodline B team of Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa get
the
out of
the... Bloodline.
Oh, it's very good, Pete. Hey, this is why we have him here, folks. People always ask, why is Pete still on shows? Things like this.
They do ask that. Especially me. I ask that.
And they're going to deal with the Kevin and Sammy problems tonight with their respective matches. And we opened with Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa.
Yeah.
Big, big time matchup this. And they like, it felt, because it's opened the show.
Yeah.
There was no like 30 minute promo or anything like that. This was just like, no, here's Kevin Owens. He's making his entrance. Ding, ding, ding. Your opening contest. Scheduled for 1-4. Out comes Solo Sikoa. And I was like, it's a big fight feel to this.
Absolutely.
I mean, it had DQ written all over it because
sure did.
I didn't think that they were going to have both members of the Bloodline lose on the show. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think Sami Zayn was going to lose. So I was like, this has got DQ written all over it. Although, like, with this ending in a DQ finish coupled with the news that Vince was backstage, you're like, uh-oh.
Mm.
But this was very much, I would say this was the story of Raw.
Yeah.
Not about the in-ring wrestling.
Which, for me, I think is a bit that I really don't like.
That was my big criticism I had about Raw this week.
Yeah.
I thought the actual in-ring product was either just there or, it's all right.
Yeah, and the thing is, this was a perfectly well-worked match.
But these two can do so much more.
They can. But also, they've been telling so many stories through wrestling in the Bloodline story. The wrestling matters for a lot of the Bloodline story because you can tell certain things, and it's not just the big story beats, but also people's facial expressions through matches or the way that somebody hesitates before they help their teammate or whatever. Like, there's so many little elements to it that matter in this. Whereas in this match and the main event match, I felt like the wrestling just didn't matter.
Didn't matter at all. I think Sami Zayn... Jimmy Uso match in particular felt like, man, the wrestling here just does not matter.
It should have just been an angle.
That like
had nothing to do with the match at
all. I kind of agree with you in that way because like that main event had like the first 5 minutes of it were just ad breaks.
Yeah.
And actually, when I say that, there was like 5 minutes worth of actual wrestling and there were two ad breaks like that separated out those five minutes. So you kind of weren't able to tell a story through that. And they weren't really telling a story in a lot of the matches, but really they were there just to facilitate the post-match angles.
Exactly, which I feel like you could have had a better way to get there, personally.
I
feel like you shouldn't have done these matches, and I know there's they probably should have lined this up because they want to have KO and Sammy fighting the Bloodline separately to kind of show the symbolism of they're both fighting the Bloodline together but not together for the eventual like team-up and stuff. I get that. But I just feel like there's a better way to do it than having these matches where the wrestling doesn't matter. But
yeah, I would agree with that. And the crowd were really into Sami Zayn during this. Lots of Sami chants throughout this. And Jimmy jumped in the ring, caused the DQ.
Boo.
Heels beat down on Kevin Owens. Out comes Sami Zayn with a chair, beats up Jimmy, beats up Solo. They kind of scarper. And Sami once again offers the olive branch to Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. And Owens rolls out the ring and walks away.
Yep.
Did you think this might be the moment?
No. Absolutely not. I was like, there's no way that KO will just change his mind.
That's what I thought as well. Like there was, I think they're very good at making me believe that it's going to be the moment. Mm-hmm. But at this point in time, I was like, it'd be really weird if he just said yes now because he saved him from this one beatdown.
Yeah, because nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Like Sammy's already saved him from a beatdown before. This is just saving him from another beatdown. That's it.
Because we got a backstage segment where Sami approached KO mm-hmm. and said, look, I'm not asking us to be friends. I don't think that this is magically just going to, it's going to erase everything that's mm-hmm. happened. I'm not looking for that. But we cannot take the bloodline down separately. Mm-hmm. The only way we're going to be able to do this is together. And it was at this moment when Owens was giving his retort, when he was just like, oh, I remember you being in the bloodline. Okay? Mm-hmm. I remember what you did to me in War Games in this city. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, we're in Boston. I was like, I literally remember what happened.
Yeah.
And why don't you just go back to Roman Reigns? I'm sure he'll forgive you. Stroke his ego. He's bound to forgive you and you can just go on your merry way.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And it was at this moment here, and I hadn't really thought about this with Kevin until this point. He had his heart broken.
Yes, he did.
By Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Like his, you know, his best friend mm-hmm. in this whole world really did turn his back on the family that they have had to go and join a family that he was never really a part of. And I think that's always been there in the Kevin Owens thing because he's just like, you know, you can look at it from like, oh, the wrestler turned on me. I don't like the wrestler. But I think with Kevin and Sami, it was in this scene here. I was like, oh, right. Yeah, no, Kevin's hurt. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why he's not teaming with Sami now is because you broke my heart.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to get his heart broken again.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to put his love and his trust back into someone that has broken that trust before.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
And that's why he was just like, just go back to the bloodline.
Yeah.
Because
go back to the bloodline.
Because he know in his heart, what he's currently telling himself is like, but he'll just turn on me again.
Yes.
Which is so wonderful because it's Kevin KO. Owens.
That's what he does.
It's Kevin Owens being like, ugh, this guy wants to turn on me again. Yeah. Can't trust him.
Yeah.
I would never do such a thing. So I thought this was a really great backstage segment. And there was awesome. Also a moment later on in the show where you had another backstage room. You could see Kevin Owens and Cody having a conversation. And it looked like they were having an argument. Mm. I love those little touches of Triple mm-hmm. H era Raw.
So good.
Those are the things I really like of Triple H is WWE. Yeah. They're sort of like the real world building type of things.
I also just want to point out as well, after that really good backstage segment with Sami and KO, the first one, cuts back to the commentary. And the commentary goes, well, it looks like there's fractures in the friendship between Sami and KO. It's like, way to oversimplify it.
When it looks like. Oh, I think fractures are starting to grow. Idiots. I had a moment here. Where's my notes? It was after the Theory Cena. Mm. When, you know, they've just announced that John Cena is going to have a WrestleMania match.
Yep.
And Corey Graves was like, am I dreaming? Is this reality? John Cena's going to have a match at WrestleMania? And it cuts back to Kevin Patrick, who's got nothing to say. So he's just looking at the camera going, doi. And I was like, you are awful at your job. Absolutely terrible. I can't believe it either. It looks like John Cena's having a match at WrestleMania. You are dreadful at your job, Kevin Patrick.
See, that wasn't the bit that wound me up about that segment. It was the fact that Cena's just said that no one cares about Austin Theory. And then Corey Graves came back and was like, Austin Theory and John Cena at WrestleMania? Wow, can't wait. I'm so excited. It's like, that's completely against the segment you just did. But that's okay.
I cannot wait. And I mean this with all due respect. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for this Kevin Patrick experiment to be over. I just need someone to watch back a show and be like, let's give him another week.
Yeah.
And have a word with him to be like, look, we've got one more bite of this apple.
Yep.
But then I really think we're going to have to reconsider you as lead play-by-play.
Yeah.
Because
I think he's a fine backstage interviewer.
Fine backstage interviewer. Yeah. He can do a squat like no one else.
Oh, it's great.
He's
dead
good at making people look dead tall.
Sorry. Oh, dear.
Cannot take that call at the moment, I'm afraid.
Nope. That's
It is quite an important call. It's an important call.
Yeah.
But I cannot take it right now.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
I'll
feel for time. I'll talk about my thoughts.
No, I'll call him after the show. I know what he's asking me as well.
Yeah.
Benny, did you see what we did there, Pete?
Mm?
There's a little teaser behind the scenes type action there. I wonder who he's speaking to.
Yeah. This feels like we're setting up like a storyline. And we're really not. I cannot tell you enough how much we're not doing that.
I cannot stress that enough. I know my laptop bleeped earlier. It's because Terry's asking me to send her a file, which I may have to do during the Ultra chat. But anyway, yeah, enough about Kevin Patrick. Not grand. I'm sure he's a nice fella. Yeah. Dead good at making people look dead tall. The main event, however, was Jimmy Uso versus Sami Zayn. And like you said earlier, I think the wrestling was inconsequential.
And I also think it might have taken away from the eventual like WrestleMania match, because now we've seen them brawl and stuff. We've seen them have a match now. I'm like, kind of wish I would have waited on that interaction a little bit more.
Yeah, but I can certainly see that. I had the same thing when they just randomly, like, you know, they spent weeks and weeks having KO and Sammy not touch. And then we're just like, nah, they're not going to
take a match.
Well, John Cena needs to have a match for the Christmas Eve episode. So
yeah,
they're just going to have a match now.
Yeah.
And then they had like a couple of matches after that.
Mm-hmm.
But this main event was really there for the main event angle.
Yes.
Which was
awesome.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, Jey Uso appears in the crowd. And I really was a lot like you, just being like, it's a shame that this match is not really grabbing me as much as I want to.
Yeah.
The second that Jey Uso showed up, or he was like I really leaned forward in my chair to be like, oh, okay, right, well, what does this mean then?
Here's the juice.
Because we'd had a segment earlier in the show with Jimmy and Solo backstage and Paul Heyman saying to Jimmy, you know, Jimmy's got his very, very clear mission. You have to bring Jey back to the bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And Heyman told Jimmy, like, do you realize that if you don't, the Tribal Chief's not going to blame me. He's not going to blame Solo. He's going to blame you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to add too much pressure onto your match tonight with Sami Zayn. Like, you know, you've got to get rid of the Sami problem and you've got to bring back Jey. There's a lot of pressure on Jimmy here tonight. So Jey shows up and I'm like, oh, okay. So what does this mean then? Jey just walks down and he's there, basically just there to see Sami Zayn pin Jimmy. They just pinned him and that was absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sami rolls out the ring. Jey gets into the ring and he's looking at his brother in the eyes. He puts his fist like against his chest. He's
grabbing kind of like his top and whatever,
holding
on tight.
You're not quite sure what like the words to describe what he was doing.
Yeah.
It was such a visual moment. Again, like commentary, just shut up.
Which, perfect.
Perfect. That's the best way to do this. Even if it was like the world's greatest commentary team.
Doesn't matter.
You don't talk during these bits.
Yep.
He's sort of grabbing him by the ruffle of his jumper and stuff like that. And he's just like, oof. And he walks past Jimmy. He rolls out the ring and he stands next to Sami Zayn. And I was genuinely like, edge of my seat.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going to happen next. And then he hugged Sami Zayn. And it was one of those, like, I mean, some people have said to me, you guys really do overham your reactions on live streams or, you know, on Worst Match Ever and things like that. And I'm like, oh, dude, I had these reactions on camera that I had in my kitchen this morning at like 6:30 with a bowl of Rice Krispies next to me and a cup of coffee. Because he hugged Sammy and my hands went to my head and I'm probably like,
yeah.
I was like, I did not see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was expecting or what I wasn't expecting, but I didn't expect that.
Yeah. It was a wonderful moment because the crowd were just begging Jey to hug Sammy. They just wanted them to be friends again. And the moment he did it, the crowd was like, yes, he hugged him! Like, the biggest pop for a hug since Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, or like Team Hell No or something like that. Yeah. Like, it was genuine. Like, this crowd exploded for this hug.
Yeah.
You know, chants of ooh, see.
And like Jey throws up the ones and Sammy joined in and Sammy like couldn't like believe it for a second. Like he did. He was like, oh my God, I've got my friend back. Oh my God, guys, my friend's here. So good. Which then set up the perfect heartbreak a few seconds later when Sammy was like, and Sammy was calling out to Jimmy because he thinks he's got Jey on his side. And Sammy calls out to Jimmy, who's still in the ring. Jimmy's down on one knee in the ring being like, oh my God.
Because
my brother's gone.
My brother's gone. What does that now
what does that mean
for
me
on SmackDown?
Right? Oh God, oh God, oh God. And Sammy calls out the gym and he goes, it's not too late for you, man. It's not too late for you. Super kick from Jay to Sammy.
Oh, oh, so good. It's so good. And the crowd, oh, they lost their minds again. They've gone through such highs and such lows in the space of like 10 seconds. Super kick to Sammy. Sammy Seller, this was perfect. This he like ragdolled himself into the barricade.
Yep.
They chucked him in the ring. Out came Solo again, and all of them went ham on Sammy. They went hammy, where they just started beating the crap out of him. And the crowd were just like, Jay hasn't only super kicked him, he's now making his mission to kill Sammy. Like, he has gone full bloodline now. He is all in on that. They come out and start beating up Sammy some more, but then Cody Rhodes comes out, makes a save, show goes off the air.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, it was good. I think Cody makes sense.
It makes sense because
it's Cody Roman at Mania, and so Cody's got his beef with the bloodline.
And also, their job was to take out Sammy. They were going to, unless Cody interfered.
I think we might get a six-man tag at some point, you know.
Wouldn't surprise
me. Cody, Sammy, and KO, or Sammy, Cody, plus partner going up against, and that's when you get the Kevin Owens side of things. But then I'm getting, but I want to really, I want to save that Jimmy, that Jay Sammy in-ring moment for WrestleMania.
Well, you could get away with it and not have them interact.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Do the CM Punk MJF six-man tag thing. Like, there are certainly ways to get around it, but like that moment when they're both in the ring together. I mean, you're right. You can structure the match so they never have that moment or that interaction, which I think would be spectacular.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Cody Rhodes that came down to make the save. When, like, Jay set himself up, he was in position to do the super kick.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite clearly telegraphed, and yet I could not believe it that he was going to do it because he just hugged him.
Yeah.
And I had all these thoughts racing through my mind. What does this mean for Mania? What does this mean for Jimmy? What does this mean for the bloodline? Super kick. Mm-hmm. And I was just completely rug yanked from underneath me.
Yeah.
Heads back on hand, being like, oh no.
Yeah.
I did. And I loved this so, so much. This was a great ending to Raw.
This was so good. And the thing I love as well is it never felt like Jay's hug to Sammy was deceptive.
Nope, it was 100% genuine. It was a genuine hug.
This was, I'm sorry for what I'm about to do.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry, I love you.
Yeah, that's it.
At that moment, because that's the theory, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, this has been sort of very much personalized, so I'm not going to take credit for, like, this was my thought. When I read it, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Jay has not done this for Roman Reigns. Jay has not done this because he hates Sami Zayn.
Yep.
Jay has done this to protect Jimmy.
That's what it's always been about.
It's what his acknowledging of him, acknowledging of Roman at Hell in a Cell, saying I quit, was because Roman put Jimmy in the guillotine.
Yep.
He did it to protect his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kind of think back to all of the bloodline interactions when it was Jay, Jimmy, and Sammy, it was, he's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You're not brothers with him. Your brother's with me.
Yeah.
Like, we're what's tight. Like, that's, we're an actual family unit. He's not one of us.
Yep.
And all of this entire storyline, and it's been right there, but it's never been the huge focal point kind of until now. It's Jay trying to protect Jimmy.
Yeah.
And move Jimmy in the right direction, or at least protect him from Roman's wrath, which he has felt firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what was going to happen to Jimmy on SmackDown, if Jay did not go back to the bloodline, meant that Jay has to go back to the bloodline, even though he knows it is not the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's perfect. When you get to the point of Jay wanted to turn on the bloodline, now you could see from his facial expressions, like the timer at like Elimination Chamber when Roman was like pushing him and Jay was like almost going to square up to Roman before he got hit with the spear from Sammy. Like he was ready to turn at that point. Obviously still conflicted because it was a difficult thing to do, but he was ready to turn. What's the thing that's going to get him back on side? Jimmy. Jimmy's the ultimate way to get to Jay. That's his weak point. It's every superhero has the love interest that the supervillain always tries to take advantage of. Oh, I'm going to kidnap Mary Jane over here, you know, to get to Spider-Man. In this case, I'm going to use Jimmy to get to Jay. It's perfect.
It's great.
Oh, what a story.
So, so good. And it's, I love it so much. It's great. And this is what Raw has been missing. And it's not like WWE has been missing this, because we've been getting a lot of this on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that makes sense. They are SmackDown stars.
Yes.
Like they, so yeah, this storyline does belong on SmackDown, but because it is so great and Raw has not got something of equal measure, and really the closest thing it has is Cody, but Cody's arguing against video screens because Roman's not on Raw.
Yeah.
Raw has just felt like it has been missing that angle, that moment. This, we haven't had one of these since like the trial of Sami Zayn, you know, back in January. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of just sort of missing these moments. And there was a report from Fightful before this episode went out being like, WWE are going out of their way to make this feel like a proper Road to WrestleMania episode.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because John Cena's on the show. Mm-hmm. And John Cena is someone who's going to draw in viewers. Hopefully those viewers stick around. So you sort of build the show to be like, these are your big stories. Here is Bianca Belair. Here's Logan Paul. Here's Cody Rhodes with John Cena. Like, because you are bringing in an audience that probably haven't been there for the last 2 weeks. But that really also does expose that the last 2 weeks of television, like we have said on this podcast, really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It's all been leading up to this episode.
Yeah.
And while this episode was good, this felt like, to me, one of the first instances of the Road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, the last 2 weeks was the beginning, or like the Rumble was the beginning. And it only feels like we're on the road to WrestleMania now, which is quite late.
It feels a lot like, and actually, you know, AEW has this problem as well. Mm-hmm. Remember when Survivor Series was end of November, and we were like, wow, they're not going to do a pay-per-view now until the end of January. Mm-hmm. Like, what's Triple H going to do with 2 whole months of TV? Turns out nothing until like 2 to 3 weeks before the Rumble. And it was like, oh crap, I need to build a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've had a little bit of that since the Rumble. I think the build on Raw has been quite lacking going into the Chamber. And then pretty much since Chamber, it's just been we've just been treading water. But this was an episode where I was like, no, we're actually on the road now. Mm-hmm. Here's the actual road to WrestleMania, because we're like 3 weeks out.
Yes.
And it's not my preferred way of doing it.
No, me neither.
But, you know, we are 3 weeks out from Mania, and I feel like... It's 3 or 4 weeks. It's like 30-odd days, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
30 days or something. Yeah, 3-4 weeks. So we've still got time to tell some of these stories. Mm. And it's made me really excited for SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's made me really excited for Raw next week as well. But yeah, I thought this was a great angle to finish off what was actually quite a good show.
This was pretty good, yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get into your ultra chats on this topic. Thank you all so much. You can join the conversation going to wrestletalk.com/support. And also, please do go and click the link that's in the video description down below, or the one that's being posted by our moderators, to go and check out our brand new channel Cutscene and get us to 1,000 subscribers. Thank you very much. We'll be doing a live Q&A there tomorrow to kind of...
What time is this Q&A tomorrow?
TBD.
Okay.
Well, only because like I said it was, I had a time in mind, but then Ollie told me, oh no, I might need to use the studio. So.
Nice.
Yeah. James A. Barefoot kicks things off here to say, hello, P and Luke. Such a great angle on Raw. I got swerved hard when I watched the clip on the WWE YouTube channel. Love the podcast, main channel, and Parts of Unknown. You make my days go by faster.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Charles Berg says, adrenaline in my soul. Save Sammy from three Usos.
Close enough.
That's close enough.
Yep.
I love the crack in Jay's voice as he said, you think I would choose you.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about how actions beget... I talk about how actions beget reactions. Sammy's choice put Jimmy in danger. Jay has always tried to protect Jimmy from Reigns.
True.
That's actually... We didn't kind of talk about that aspect of it, but that's... You know, it was sort of like, Jay doesn't hate Sammy. No. I felt that hug was genuine.
Yeah.
But I think Charles is also right. Jay has been forced to make this decision because of Sammy's actions.
Yeah. And that was the moment from the Rumble when Sammy turned on Reigns and Jay was like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you making me make this choice right now?
Yeah.
And it was always like, that to me was always Jay's conflict of like, I don't want to make this choice. Why are you making me make this choice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonesaw Bug 823, Rocky 4 vibes here. Sammy is Apollo Creed, Roman is Drago, and Cody is Rocky. Roman needs to beat Cody for him to reestablish his place at the head of the table, but the gates are being stormed by two Canadians and a grandson of a plumber. I'm loving this. Well, I hope we don't get too much of Sammy as Apollo in Rocky 4. It did not end well for him. Very badly, because if he dies, he dies. Jonathan Cantrez, thought the ending was awesome. It really sold why Jay cared for Sammy, but he had to sell his soul to Roman again to save Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Now comes WrestleMania, and karma will come along soon, and they will lose the titles. Roman will snap and blame Jimmy and Jay. Well, that's the thing. I think Jay knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Jay knows that if they lose those tag titles, Roman's not going to go easy on them.
No.
And even if Roman loses his titles, he still will find a way to put the blame onto Jimmy and Jay.
Of course he will.
You lost your titles and that rattled mm-hmm. me. Like that,
yeah.
That put me in a difficult position.
That's exactly it.
And crikey, the Raw after Mania. If we have the bloodline with no belts whatsoever.
It will look weird.
It will look weird. And I still don't know quite where I stand on it either as well. Because I mean, I said on last week's show, and I've said it in a couple of things now, like I feel like Roman's going to win at Mania. And the thing is, like, I really don't think he is. And it's not even like a typical WWE, they definitely would just, I'm not saying it from that aspect. It's just Roman has created this aura now where I'm like, oh no, you're a forever champion. You're never going to lose.
Mm.
Which I think is actually just a great story for Cody to go against. Witty Comeback says, what do you think of the theory that Jay told Sammy to go along with the beatdown when he pulled him out for the hug? Could be a double cross. This tweet sold me on that.
So it's a clip. So apparently, when Jay hugs Sammy, he brings him close and he says something in Sammy's ear. And if you look at Sammy's reaction to it, I'll see if I can make sure this isn't playing sound.
Yeah, I probably should have done that as well before I press play.
Yep, that's it. Sound and then we'll see Sammy's reaction to it after he brings him in for a hug. Not now, go away. Okay. Just looking at Sammy's face.
Mm-hmm. There's the hug.
Brings him in. Jimmy's upset.
I don't know. No, for me, that facial reaction from Sammy was more... I did not expect this.
Oh my God, he's hugging me.
Yes, that's more. Yeah. I think it's almost the same reaction he would have had like the first time that Jay hugged him when in War Games.
Yeah.
I like it as a theory.
I like it as a theory. And if it turns out that that is the case, that's incredible.
That is awesome.
But I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't want it to be the case, I will say.
That it's a double cross.
I hate the idea of people being in on themselves getting beaten up. I that story never works for me.
I also think as well, like, there's a clear option here. Mm-hmm. It's Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos.
Yes.
At WrestleMania.
That's
for
it.
The tag titles.
Yes.
Like, there's a very easy road for us to go down here.
We're on it now.
I don't think we need to Russo our way into Swervesville, mm-hmm. where we are just doing swerves for the sake of swerves.
Yeah, no, I think this was a legit choice.
Yeah. A couple of more chats here. Jay Toomer has been a member for 6 months. He says, at some point, Jay versus Roman.
Yes.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, or even before then. Like, I don't know how long Roman's going to be around post-Mania.
That's the report, isn't it? That post-Mania, Roman's going to be like... I mean, Roman's a part-timer now. It's always worth remembering. He doesn't feel like one because he's such a part of the show because he has a faction. It's not like when Brock was champion and part-timer and he was just never around.
Yeah.
Roman always feels like a presence on the shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Roman's taking some time out, which is why I think... I mean, there's likely he'll be at King of the Ring because it's in a Saudi show.
Yeah.
So maybe you do it there, but yeah, main event of SummerSlam, maybe.
I'd really like it personally if Roman stuck around for a bit longer post Mania to Backlash, maybe to King of the Ring, whatever. But that's when you cut the Bloodline story done. So you tie up all the loose ends. You have the Jay versus Roman match. Solo splits off and does his solo thing, and then Roman's gone for like 6 months plus, maybe till the Rumble next year. Just have him gone for ages and just let that story finish. And then when he comes back, it's something different, you know? Roman comes back with a vengeance and he does something else. He's not the head of the table anymore. He's not the tribal chief. He's something else.
Yeah.
And he's...
And he's a babyface.
And he's a babyface.
And he's going to be the top champion. He's going to beat Cody Rhodes, who's going to turn
Yeah. Sounds great.
And our last one here for now from Griffo Chaz, who said, did you see Cody and Owens talking in the back of the Elias segment? What we were talking about earlier. Mm. What if Kevin sent Cody because he doesn't want to admit that he wants to help Sammy himself? That's not my read of that argument. My read on that argument, and obviously I could be very, very wrong, and this was how I read it to be, was... that was Cody looking to try and play peacemaker.
Mm.
That was Cody going up to Kevin and saying, like, this, what you're doing is not working.
Yeah.
Like, Sammy telling Kevin that what you're doing is not working is one thing. Cody's an outsider to this friendship. So you come in and be like, look, this, what you're doing is wrong. Not wrong, but it's not the right way to go about this. Mm-hmm. And Owens, because he looked quite annoyed, you know, by the conversation, was like angry because he probably knows that's right. But like we were saying earlier, is too hurt to admit that that's the right thing right now.
And that's the same kind of thing. Cody is saying, like, we have to take down the Bloodline together. I'm going after Roman. You guys have to team up. You and Sammy have to get together to take out the rest of them. It's the only way this is going to work. Whether it will stick, I don't know. That's exciting.
A few more just come in here. Dan Shewell says, hey guys, new plan. Jay saved Jimmy from Roman. Usos retain at Mania, but Roman loses.
Mm.
He then becomes jealous of the Usos and starts to test them. Jay finally snaps and says, Sammy was right about you all along, leading to his feud with Roman at SummerSlam.
I like that, but the Usos should lose.
I think you can do that exact same storyline with the Usos losing the belts.
Yep.
Ben Greenwood, this Bloodline storyline has been magnificent. Just before watching Raw this week, I thought that the momentum was slowing down, but this week completely pulled me back. I want this story to end for Jay more than Sammy. He and Jimmy are who I am invested in. That's interesting.
I want this story to end well for Jay, and I think the story does not end for Jay at Mania. He loses at Mania, and that's his downturn, but then he comes back up when he, you know, when he beats Roman, obviously.
Yorkie Master 53 said, this is certified good classic. Sammy is the friend trying to get Jay out of the hood. Jay is upset that Sammy gave him hope that he could leave that life.
Mm.
Right, do you know what? Let's get into the rest of this show, Pete, because as usual, when a Bloodline thing opens the show or closes the show, we've gone 35 minutes.
Well, we have a lot to talk about.
We certainly do. So we opened with Kevin Owens and Solo Sikoa. Question to you before we do move on from that, though. Who do you think beat Solo?
I don't know. There was a report recently that they're purposefully protecting Solo because they want him to be a big single star.
Yeah.
The plan being Solo versus Roman at some point.
Really? No.
Huh. Don't know when, but at some point it's going to be Solo versus Roman.
Oh, Roman is going to be so invested in that because Roman's going to be going out of his way to make Solo look awesome.
And I would love it if you have the whole breakdown of the bloodline, Usos like leave Roman, and Roman is completely despondent. He's lost his titles, he's lost the Usos have lost their belts, so it's just him and Solo and Paul, and he just snaps at Paul and Paul's gone, and it's just him and Solo, and then he starts bullying Solo. Solo's like, no.
Solo don't stand.
No, I'm all right. I've had enough of this now. And that's their implosion. Then they lead to a match. Yeah.
I am not saying I want this to happen. Mm-hmm. And by saying this, I'm not putting it out into the world. Cody beats him in the lead up to Mania.
Don't do that, Luke.
He's the Wardlow in the MJF feud.
No.
Likely in a cage match.
Gunther versus Solo Sikoa.
I mean, like, dude.
That sounds fun.
I'm all for the three-way at Mania. Gunther and the Banger Bros.
But, oh, yeah.
Man, I want something big for Solo.
Yeah.
I want Solo winning some belt.
At some point. It doesn't even have to be at this Mania.
Yeah.
I want Solo to do some. 100%.
We got a recap of Bobby Lashley going to SmackDown and then cutting a backstage promo, which was befitting the quality of this feud.
I didn't see that segment from SmackDown with the whole Uncle Howdy thing. Saw the recap on this show. Uncle Howdy looked like a real numpty, didn't he?
Man, they just put pause on this Bray Wyatt Uncle Howdy thing. They were like, right, we just need to get through WrestleMania and these bizarre little mini feud we're doing with Bobby Lashley. Then we'll probably get back to lore, I think.
We'll go back to the feud that started in October last year.
And it's still not really progressed.
Nothing has happened.
Well, I know. Uncle Howdy did jump off a tall thing at Royal Rumble.
That doesn't count. Nothing's happened.
There's a great moment in The Simpsons. Simpsons wrestling meme shared this earlier. It really made me laugh. When Krusty the Clown comes out in a Halloween costume and he has the line, "Tonight I'm going to suck your blood." But there's a pause between the your blood bit. Mm-hmm. So he just comes out and goes, "Tonight I'm going to suck your blood." Someone just had the freezer and "Tonight I'm going to suck." Just like Bray Wyatt every week on SmackDown.
Oh, that's mean, but it's funny.
I know, but I think we're all having like a shared collective group session. I'm just like, I think this Bray Wyatt thing's not working.
Oh, I've been saying that pretty much since the return. You know, the thing is, okay, here's a little behind the scenes story for you. We didn't do live reactions for Extreme Rules when Bray Wyatt returned, but I watched that show live so I could do an immediate reaction video for the main WrestleTalk channel immediately afterwards. And I was excited to see Bray Wyatt back. I didn't really like the return, though.
Did you not?
I really didn't.
Oh, that's... Okay, so I think the return was awesome.
I don't think it was. It was so overlong. It didn't play into any of the rest of the show.
Oh, no, not at all.
And it was just like, Bray's back, end of the show. It was like, okay.
I would disagree.
What does the white rabbit mean? It doesn't mean anything. It was just a thing that they just said.
Hey, the white rabbit was Karrion Kross. We've been through this.
I don't know. I was caught up in the moment. And I was like, yeah, Bray Wyatt. But now when I really think about it, I was like, did I actually like that return, though? No, I don't think I did.
I have not gone back and rewatched it, but in my head...
It's just a load of nonsense.
In my head, it's still good. It's still good.
And since then, it's like, okay. Yeah, nothing's happened.
I think the first few weeks of promos were good.
I think one or two of his promos were good.
Yeah.
When he became a human and he was talking about like his inner turmoil.
Yeah,
I'm great stuff. That was great promo work.
Yelling at the production guy backstage.
Exactly, great promo stuff. Loved it.
And then Uncle Howdy showed up.
Uncle Howdy stuff's weird, huh?
The Alexa stuff, and it's not. Yeah. But the bit that really made me laugh in this is it cuts to Byron Saxton, and Byron Saxton goes, "Oh, strong comments."
That's strong comments from Lashley.
Awful.
I love it.
Carmella gets interviewed wanting to be added into the Raw women's match at WrestleMania, and Chelsea Green walks up and they kind of agree to be a little partnership. Carmella says, maybe you should accompany me to ringside for my match against Bianca Belair. We got more of my least favorite quote from commentary, and they said it twice. Carmella in complete control here. They said it twice.
Yeah.
Because she was in complete control when they came back from the ad break.
Yeah.
But this was unlike last week's with Asuka, where Carmella was actually in complete control. Bianca Belair was never really in trouble here. She even got... This really shows you the difference in how WWE see Bianca Belair and see Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bianca Belair in this match got a visual pin on Carmella. She kicked out of two near falls after two different spots of interference and still won clean.
Yes.
She was, this is what should have happened with Asuka last week. Mm-hmm. This was my big issue with the Asuka match last week, because that match was just Carmella dominated for 95% and Asuka got a fluke win. This was, Bianca Belair was like, yeah, you were beating up on me, but I'm not in any form of trouble here. Mm-hmm. My health percentage is at 98% from all of your offense that you've done to me. Mm-hmm. KOD, and I've just won very, very decisively.
Yeah. I think it was fine.
But, you know, I hated last week. This is what you should be doing. This is a good thing.
Yes.
And then afterwards, the heels beat down Bianca Belair. Asuka ran down to make the save like she was Sami Zayn mm-hmm. in the segment just beforehand. And misted Chelsea Green. I smell a tag team match player. But not for next week, because that's Bianca Belair versus Chelsea Green.
I would really like it if Asuka and Bianca Belair had a feud at some point. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah,
had a feud at some point.
I said this in my edited review. I'm really waiting on that feud to start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd be great once it does start.
Oh, I mean, do you know what? We're on the road to WrestleMania now.
Yeah.
If they're going to start it, now's the time.
Yeah. Just... yeah.
Real waiting on it, though.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of WrestleMania feuds... The Miz was in the ring to moderate the face-to-face between Logan Paul at WrestleMania. He is 100% going to help Logan Paul win at WrestleMania.
I hate that.
He's too involved in this not to be involved in the match.
He's the host of WrestleMania. The host can't get involved, Luke.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Impartial.
The Rock certainly didn't.
Yeah, he did his hosting.
Kim Kardashian certainly didn't mm-hmm. when she interfered in the main event.
Yeah.
Here's the pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miz helps Logan Paul win.
Yep.
Logan Paul is then not on TV because he's not actually a weekly character. Mm-hmm. You then do Miz and Seth at Backlash. And that leads to Seth and Logan Paul rematch in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Hate it.
Because that is a rematch befitting of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
I just don't like it. I just don't want it.
Well, no, because I think this is what... I think... Rollins feuding with Logan Paul mm-hmm. is massively helping Logan.
Mm.
And in a way, it's really helping Rollins as well.
Mm.
Rollins doesn't quite feel like as tippity-top as he was, you know, say 3 or 4 months ago.
Sure.
Certainly since Cody came back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I think having a feud with Miz, it's going to drag him kicking and screaming into the lower mid-card. And it's not the place for Rollins to be.
Yeah.
Rollins should be at the tippity-top of this company.
Mm-hmm.
He's so over. Mm. Boston, we're hugely into Rollins here. And this will be one of the most lauded matches at WrestleMania. There's certainly going to be one of the most talked about matches because it's going to get all the mainstream publicity. So that's good for one aspect of it. But it's downhill once WrestleMania ends.
Yeah.
If my theory is correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it might not be.
This promo was real good, though. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, this was a promo segment. If you liked seeing three douchebags act like douchebags, then you are going to have a real good time with this segment.
Yeah.
This crowd was... Like, this crowd was super into Rollins.
So into Rollins.
But also a very bizarre little crowd as well, because they got really good heat for Logan Paul.
Mm.
And then Paul tells them to shut up, and they do it more. I've written here, Logan Paul is such a twat.
Because
I really do feel like he is.
Yep.
And then the crowd started chanting for him. I was like,
yeah.
Why? Mm. You were just booing him not 10 seconds ago.
Yeah. I think they like him, but like to boo him.
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking about Logan Paul on my little train ride in after I finished writing my review.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that this is going to make me sound like an old man yelling at clouds. I did not know who Logan Paul was until he was in WWE.
I did.
He was a name that I have heard of, but I did not know him.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea who he was, no idea what he's done. Don't have a Scooby-Doo what he has done outside of the four walls of WWE.
Sure.
However, I keep getting told... He's a hugely popular person. And I've yet to meet anyone in person or in the chat or in Ultra Chats that have said, no, I've watched Logan Paul's videos and I think he's really cool.
What? No, because our viewers aren't 12. That's
is that
the
what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. That was going to be my question because I've never encountered anyone who's actually told me, no, I think Logan Paul's really cool.
He's not.
Oh, I see.
It's because he's a knobhead. Right?
I get you, right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's
really into crypto.
Yeah, I have heard that he's into NFTs, which makes him even... I thought he was a bit of a douchebag anyway, but if you're an NFT bro, I think you are way more of a douchebag than I gave you credit for.
Yeah,
he's more of a douchebag than I gave him credit for.
Yeah.
Crypto credits, if you will. thank you.
Very good.
He did a, he had a really weird line in here as well. And I get what he was going for. He just delivered it wrong.
Yes.
His point was, I'm on the WrestleMania card in a high-profile match after being here for just a year. I've accomplished everything that you have in 1 year, and it took you 20.
Mm-hmm.
There is something in there. But what he said was, I've done everything you've done in 1 year, and it took you 20. And I was like, have you won multiple world championships in WWE? Because I don't think... Have you won a Money in the Bank briefcase? Because I don't think
there's actually
have.
Lots of things that Seth's done that you haven't actually yet.
Seth has been a main event of WrestleMania, even though The Miz told us he hasn't. He definitely has, though.
Yeah.
Because this happens with Logan Paul so often.
Yeah.
Delivers lines wrong.
And the thing is, I feel like if Logan had just said, I'm as good as you now, and it took me 1 year, and it took you 20 years to get to this point, that's fine.
That's probably what he was meant to say.
But you can't say, I've done everything you have, because you just haven't.
You haven't.
It's just wrong.
I also feel like, and this is why I wasn't a huge fan of the segment, and it's not just because of the people involved within it.
Mm-hmm.
It was some of the content, like I thought Paul's content wasn't quite right. And then Seth Rollins was going down this whole road of like, you're not wanted here. We don't want you in our house. And I'm like, I thought we all agreed that we did like Logan Paul in this house, because Logan Paul's an excellent pro wrestler and he's really good at this. He had an exceptional performance with Roman Reigns. He had a really good match with The Miz, and that's not that easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to The Miz, even though people will tell me that I hate him.
Yeah.
And it's, I just, like, if you'd have done this promo this time last year, I'd understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been here for a year now and has been awesome every single time.
Yeah.
So for Rollins to be like, we don't want you here, Logan Paul, I'm like, no, I think we kind of do, though.
Yeah. But Rollins did call in the scum of the earth. So I was like, well, 2 out of 10 segment.
Well, when you're right, you're right.
And that's the thing. I've noticed this quite a lot in a few segments recently. I was like, feels very like on the nose with a lot of promo content lately.
We'll get to that theory segment later.
Ooh! And like, yeah, and there was like the, what was it? Was it the Cody and Roman one from SmackDown? There was a line in there. I was like, that feels very real. Like
when Cody said, me and my friends sold out an indie show with 10,000 people.
Yeah, it was part of that.
Literal references to All In.
Yeah. It was like, everything feels very, and I know like we've been asking for promos to feel more real for ages and everything, but there's occasional moments where I'm like, where it kind of just takes me out of it for a second. I was like, what? Didn't expect him to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing. I'm undecided.
Poor Dolph Ziggler had to try and make a Moss look good. He did
also
not succeed.
Logan Paul knocked out Rollins.
Oh, yes, he did. He hit lucky punch.
Yeah, the one punch man.
Yeah.
Bonk.
And Rollins' sell of it was excellent.
Really good.
Really,
knocked
really
out.
Good. Yeah, poor old Dolph Ziggler had to try and make a Moss look good and failed in doing so. I really liked how this was set up, though.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed a pre-tape from earlier in the day where Mustafa Ali is acting like Dolph Ziggler's number one fan. And because he is Dolph Ziggler's number one fan and Dolph Ziggler is always taking opportunities from other people, he's gotten him an opportunity to face a Moss.
Mm.
And then Ali was in the crowd with a big sign that says, we love Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely the most character I have seen out of Mustafa Ali in a while now.
Ever?
Possibly ever, because the babyface run that they did in the Trips era did not work.
Mm-hmm.
I bless him for trying, but it did not capture the crowd's imagination. Bless Ali, he tried retribution, but it was dead on arrival. I think you might be right. It's not as much from the presidential thing that he was doing,
mm-hmm.
the cancelled character that he wanted to do, which was really, really good.
Really
an
good.
Incredible performance. But I really enjoyed this.
Mm. Yeah, it's fun.
What happened to all the Hurt Business stuff, though?
We'll see.
Again, is that just one of those stories we just put on pause?
Yeah, just put on pause.
Just put on pause until after WrestleMania?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's
what
WrestleMania is, isn't it?
It's because I...
The show where we put all of our storylines on pause so we could just do other nonsense and then we can press play again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they wanted to do Omos versus Lesnar, funnily enough. I think that might have got changed last minute. So then they're like, oh, this isn't really fit with the Hurt Business story. Ah, we'll come back to it later.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin wants to join the Maximum Male Models.
I thought this was quite funny.
This was funny, yeah. And they basically, Maxine says, yeah, I'll consider it if you can take out Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm. All of the people in this segment were very funny.
They were.
I really liked them. Maxine has got the hots for Otis, and then Baron Corbin thought...
Otis.
Otis, sorry. And Baron Corbin thought they were talking about him. I was like, that's funny. Marseille and Mansoir, very funny the way that they deliver their lines. And I think Maxine is really finding herself in this role, because when she first got brought up, I was like, ooh, that's a bit wooden. I don't think she quite gets it.
Without LA Knight, she's been able to shine here.
Exactly. And I think she's really finding this like over-the-top comedic character, and I think it's really working.
Yeah,
it's great.
And actually genuinely made me excited for a Baron Corbin match.
So, yeah.
Yeah, thumbs up to me, lads.
Well, it would have. And then since Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable, I was like, Shorty G, no! I got flashbacks. I was like, I'm not doing this again.
We then got Bloodline backstage, the Heyman and Jimmy thing we talked about earlier. Finn Balor took on Johnny Gargano. They kind of were pitching this on Twitter to be like a big follow-up to their TakeOver match. This was not that, because this was, again, wrestling that was inconsequential because it was there to set up a... You'll never guess this, Pete. Edge returned.
Whoa!
And you'll never guess what he did. He laid out Finn Balor and stood tall.
That's so crazy. Yep. He never does that.
Crikey. Do you know what? When I think they're going to zig, they just zig. Every time this company really does take me by surprise.
See, the thing is, ordinarily...
I hate this feud so much.
Ordinarily, I'd be like, oh my God, Johnny Gargano got a big win on Raw. That's awesome. I love that. I love Johnny Gargano. I'm glad he's got a big win. At this point, I'm like, give Balor a win. Come on, guys.
But it didn't feel like Johnny Gargano won.
No,
because
exactly.
It felt like, as always with this feud, Edge won. In matches he's not even involved with, Edge won. Even in matches that Edge loses, it feels like Edge wins. So sick of this. And this is proper diminishing returns, quite figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
Because Edge just goes off TV for a week, then comes back, and it's meant to be like, oh my God, Edge is back. It's like, oh, we've been doing this time after time after time.
Yeah.
And I'm really over it now.
Yeah, I also thought this was weirdly staged in the Edge's music hits. So Ripley and Priest went up the stage to try and cut off Edge. He comes out from behind and costs Balor the match. And then he gets in the ring, and then there's this whole thing, and then he's back and forth, and he spears Balor, and Ripley and Priest are just on the outside of the ring. It's
just
like,
stood
get
there.
In!
Yeah, they just sort of stood there being like,
ooh, how we... What do we do?
If only I could do something about this.
Suddenly, the force field from the Zombies match was back, and they couldn't get in anymore.
Yeah, this was no good. Yeah. Dexter Lumis was also there.
Yeah, he was, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, he's worked with Johnny Gargano, isn't he?
Sure.
Christian has and always has been the better of the two. So, I'm not saying that Vince is back in creative. I'm not saying that Vince is back. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Vince is having a hand in production.
Mm.
I'm not saying that Vince is in the writer's room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that Vince is pitching ideas, although Brock versus Omos sure does feel like one.
Yep.
I'm not saying that at all. According to the reports, he was in Gorilla all night, but it was Triple H making all of the decisions and all the final calls.
Yep.
However, what happened next was we had a recap of Cody and Roman on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Then Nikki Cross made her entrance.
Yeah.
Then we got a promo for King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Then we got Byron Saxton interviewing Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a recap of Piper Niven versus Candice LeRae from Raw last week.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a recap of a YouTube clip where Niven attacked Candice LeRae.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Piper Niven making her entrance for her match with Nikki Cross. I'm just saying, we haven't had this since Vince was here.
We haven't had these pacing issues, gang.
This does not happen in the Triple H era of Raw.
No.
And it's just and I'm not saying this was a Vince call, but it just seems incredibly coincidental.
Sure
this this happens the first time since Vince has been gone happened on the show where Vince was back.
Also, this match went like a minute.
And it was not very good. Also, like, I read here, oh man, you can tell Vince is back. and the commentary then said, well, Piper Niven is dealing with unfamiliar phone Nikki Cross. I was like, what are you talking about? What are you saying? What? Of all people, of all two people in the ring to say that in a match. What the hell are you talking about?
I miss that. That's hilarious.
And then Niven won quickly.
Do you want to know the bit that I loved?
What's the bit you loved?
Corey Graves at the start of this match. Nikki Cross is attacking Piper Niven before the bell rang. Piper Niven was just on the apron. She starts like grabbing him, being all crazy and stuff. And commentary was saying, oh, she better watch out there. She's going to get herself disqualified before the bell even rings. That's not how matches work!
That's how DQs work, mate.
You can't do that!
We had a backstage segment where Rick boos. I had a bit of an epiphany in this segment.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been, you know.
There's so much more of this show to go.
I know. Actually, not that much. Only two more segments. When Randy Orton was out,
mm-hmm.
and they just sort of replaced Randy Orton with Elias and hoped that we didn't notice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you're just budget Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. You're a budget RK bro.
Yeah.
Matt Riddle's been gone.
Yeah.
So I feel like they've now just replaced Matt Riddle with Rick Boogs.
So now it's RK bro with Rick Boogs and Elias.
They've just like, well, we need to replace him. It's just like, it's the sugar babes of wrestling storylines. And eventually the original lineup's going to come back. But anyway, this led to a comedy segment where Boogs accidentally got Elias a match with Bronson Reed for next week.
Rick Boogs is really funny. I wish he got better content.
John Cena came out for his promo.
Oh my God.
Genuinely choked up by the reaction that he got.
Yeah, that was nice.
Really, really nice. Great to see John back. Austin Theory came out before Cena could even say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you he wishes he didn't. He wants a match with John at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And Cena says no.
Mm-hmm.
You go.
I thought that this was going to lead into something quite special. People have been talking about the Cena Theory comparisons for ages. And they referenced it in this segment as well. I thought this was going to be a case of Cena being like, no, I don't want to have this match, you haven't earned it. And Theory being like, what are you talking about?
I literally just beat five people in an elimination chamber.
I'm the greatest, what are you talking about? And Cena, I thought, was going to draw on the comparisons. And even he mentioned this part of the promo, and I was like, yes, this is what we're doing. When he said, like, you remind me of me. Like, I've been where you've been.
I'm your ghost of future.
I'm your ghost of the future. He said it better than I did.
Yeah. Well, that's because I was going to say ghost of future past.
Yeah, which...
My X-Men mind just kicked in.
Exactly. But he said, you know, I'm the ghost of your future. I've been where you've been. And nobody believes that you're you. Because you're not you. I know that you don't believe all of this right now. And I'm like, this is great. Because if this leads into, like, Cena demanding that Theory, like, stops using underhanded tactics and starts just, like, wrestling and shows what he's truly about, that's a good, like, character development theory. Him, like, putting over and being like, you've got all the potential in the world. You're just masking it with all of this nonsense. I've done that myself. I know what you're going through. Just cast it all to one side and follow the right path. It's not what this promo was.
It really wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Because Cena then just buried this poor boy 6 feet under.
God.
Not just Theory, but WWE as well. And their presentation of Theory and the bad job they've done with Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Cena says no. And he's like, you're not ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing because it's all the things that we've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't have put him in. They shouldn't have given him money in the bank. It was not the right time to put money in the bank on him. 2 years' time, yes. Mm-hmm. But at that point, he was not ready for that position. When he was doing all the golden egg stuff with Vince, it was like, you are not ready for this position you're being put into. This is too much too fast. And that's kind of what Cena was saying here. And, you know, Theory took some easy shots being like, oh, you're going bald.
You're bald.
You've got a bald patch, which Cena's done a very good comb-over job with. And, I'd really like to hear it was like, your t-shirt says never give up and your hat says respect, but you're showing me no respect. Mm-hmm. And it really feels like you're giving up on this match. And then Cena,
Jesus Christ,
says, look, this is my gift to you,
mm-hmm.
to not have a match with me,
mm-hmm.
at WrestleMania, because I was just going to let you leave in one piece, but now I can't. And I'm going to have to tell you some real truths.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather be going bald then have WWE pipe in fake crowd noise to make it sound like people care about me. Hot dog. Like, that's John Cena saying, oh, Rock, you got your promo written in your hand there.
Yeah.
On your wrist.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, exposing of mm-hmm. the tactics and, you know, and things like that. This was a character going out on a WWE show admitting that WWE pipe in fake crowd noise for their wrestlers.
Mm.
Insane.
I just, the whole point of Cena's segment was not, you have all the potential, you're just missing something. It was, God, you're terrible, aren't
you're
you?
You're rubbish.
You are so bad, and nobody cares about you. Why does anyone care about you? You're so rubbish. I really did not like this segment at all.
I actually did.
I hated it.
I actually really liked this. I thought Cena's promo, like, because again, it felt like very, very real. I thought it was like, it's not the John Cena that we usually get, mm-hmm. which is the John Cena that shows up and goes, whoop-a-doo-doo, poopy trim, and all this sort of stuff. But this was like a very
Cena burying someone on the mic is not the normal Cena we get.
That's in a different type, though, because usually that is just like, you're poopy, and also you are terrible backstage, like that sort of thing, and I'm going to beat you because I need to get the rub. But this was more just a, like, this was a complete decimation of the Austin Theory character.
Yeah.
That we have now got 3 weeks to almost rebuild. And this, maybe this is what Theory needs in order to come out of this. Because I think he's winning at Mania.
And John, I hope he does.
John, I think he is going to beat John Cena at WrestleMania. And that is going to be part of, like, that's going to make this promo feel even more epic because he proved John wrong, particularly if he wins clean, which I think he should do.
I mean, there's time between now and Mania. They've got a few weeks. Mm. If they can tell this story of Theory kind of almost accepting what Cena said and being like, all right, yeah, I am kind of hiding behind this mask and everything. And he starts coming out and is wrestling more babyface. Maybe he goes clean shaven again to show that difference in his, you know, his mentality or whatever. There's something there. You can get there without Cena burying him on the way. There's no need for this at all.
Honestly, that line was a real killer. Ugh. Like that, yeah, the whole of WWE pipes in crowd noise for you because people do not care about Austin Theory.
You are
a failed experiment.
It ripped the veil way too far off.
Of yeah, me. Maybe.
It didn't make Theory look good or like a credible challenge. It made Cena go like, no, don't care about you.
I mean, even when he said like, you're in a lose-lose situation because you either lose to me and you lose everything, mm-hmm. or you beat me and then you got to come out on the Raw after Mania and I'm not going to be there to get you reactions. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do that on your own.
Yeah,
that's a lose-lose situation for you to be in.
It should be whatever. Like if he beats Cena, then he should be having the... Whatever. He's literally saying, if you beat me, it doesn't matter.
In some respects, yes.
Like, this is why I don't like
But I think as a starting point, like maybe I think we'll, you know, see where we are in 3 weeks' time. Let it play out.
Yeah.
If we're at the end of 3 weeks and John Cena's still cutting these promos, I'm like, I probably wouldn't have gone in this direction. But I think as a starting point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many shows Cena's on, which is going to be my other problem that we might have with this feud is
100%.
It's another wrestler that's having a feud with a video screen.
Yes.
We've got a lot on Raw. I hope that we're going to get more of Cena.
Mm.
I hope we do.
Me too.
I also,
the last bit that I really hated on this segment was at the very end, Cena was just like, you're not WrestleMania worthy. You know who is? Cody Rhodes, everyone stop caring about that man in the ring. Here's the guy you should be cheering. Cheer this man, not that one. He sucks. Yeah. Care about this guy instead.
I guess it was a passing and torch thing. It was really weird. I thought Cody was coming out for a promo.
Yeah, like something. Just Cody came out and he goes, here you go, here's a hug. And then that's it. End of segment.
Yeah.
Like, huh?
I thought we were about to get more bad pacing because I've then written like, Kevin Patrick is so awful. Can we interview Sami Zayn? Oh, and then I was like, and then Baron Corbin came and I was like, oh. Also, there is no Cody promo.
There is no
where did Cody go?
Nothingness. Yeah. Oh, where did Cody go? Yeah. It was just very weird, very weirdly paced, very weirdly timed. I didn't vibe with the segment at all.
There was a tweet about this though that really did make me laugh, which is that something had changed in Cena's brain after that Punk feud because he used to call people stupid meanie faces with Wendy's hair. Ever since then, anyone that even looks at him tells them your fake character is stupid and you suck at your job. See you at the pay per view, you dumb bitch.
They're right. They are right.
So it's Cena versus Theory at Mania.
Yeah. Which shocked.
Yeah.
Never would have seen it coming.
So then we had Chad Gable versus Baron Corbin. We came back from the ad break and Kevin Patrick, in another example of him being very bad at his job, but being fed lines to make him sound bad, said, we are in front of an electric crowd here in Boston.
Yes!
This crowd was deathly silent for Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable.
So good. I loved it. I picked up on that one as well.
You hear
it was awesome.
Crickets going on.
Yeah.
They wrestled to silence and then Gable tapped Corbin out. It was a nothing match.
It was pretty quick. Corbin dominated.
I'd have liked to have seen more Maximum Male models out there.
Yeah.
That's what that was the whole point of this was to have like to further that story. And I don't think we really got that from this segment.
And also just if you're gonna push Chad Gable, which is the report, then have him win more decisively.
We then had the final segment we could talk about on this show. Team Beckstream coming out for a promo segment. They are the new women's tag team champions. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how they made history together and they brought out Trish Stratus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to sort of like have a little chin wag and stuff. But now come Damage Control, who are very annoyed because they lost the belts. And Trish steps up and says, look, I can quite quickly go from I am retired to... I was retired.
Mm-hmm.
Transitioned into a trios match at WrestleMania, which Bayley accepted, much to the chagrin of Io and Dakai. And then the good guys beat up the heels and stood tall.
Cool.
There are apparently, reportedly, twists and turns coming in this story. May I pitch you mine?
Mm.
Now, I'm going to preface. This is needlessly convoluted.
My favorite.
There's almost too many moving pieces to this, but right. I like its outcome.
Okay.
So, trios match at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota and Io do not want to be in this match.
Yes.
But quite categorically, they do not. They have basically showed us in the segment they do not want to be part of this match.
Mm-hmm.
They've also been very angry at Bayley accepting matches on their behalf. That's how they've lost the tag team titles.
Yes.
They leave Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk out on Bayley during the match.
Mm-hmm.
And Bayley's like, no, my friends. And the heels, the babyface getting like, yuck, 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 yuck. Chick kick to Becky, chick kick to Lita. Bayley still wins.
Mm-hmm.
And you can split it off then into Team Beckstream versus Bayley and Lita versus Bayley and Trish rather, versus Dakota and Io in a three-way feud over the women's tag titles.
I don't hate it. And when you say there's twists and turns in the story, you mean there's one twist and it's at Mania.
There's two twists. Damage Control leave Bayley, and then...
That's not a twist.
Yeah, well, it's a twist in the tail.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's a swerve.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's a twist in the tail.
Sure.
It's what I would do. But, we'll see where it goes. But that was Raw, with the main event that we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. I had a fun time with this show. And I think part of that was, though, it's the first Raw in ages where I come over being like, oh, wow, that was worth watching.
Yeah, this felt meaningful. Even if the wrestling didn't feel meaningful, the actual story progression did.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't quite buy with a couple of the choices, I thought a lot of it was good. And I'm glad that stuff mattered.
What would you have scored it?
3.5?
Yeah.
I want to say. Somewhere around there.
I gave it a 4.
Yeah, that's valid. I think because you liked the Cena segment and I didn't.
I did, yeah.
I think that's probably the difference between us.
I would say so, yeah. Let us know what you thought. The poll is up now. You can join in. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Let your voice be heard. Let's give a shout out to some of our wonderful pledge hammers over on patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Let's have a quick check of the poll, shall we, Pete? What's going on for WrestleTalk Extra?
Oh boy, yeah. Is it live?
It's live. It's been going. Oh, I think amazing. It actually might now be over. Let's have a look. Accept those cookies. It has ended, and 40% WrestleMania X8 has won the poll.
Ooh.
So Ollie Davis and I will be reviewing WrestleMania X8 for WrestleTalk Extra. Someone pointed out in one of the comments, I'll shout out their name. Where are they? Chris Smith said, will have done WrestleManias 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21.
Wow.
It's a really good run.
It's a good run right there. Yeah.
So that'll be coming out later on this month. Tomorrow is WrestleTalk Behind the Scenes. Myself, Pete, and Ollie Davis talking mm-hmm. about the behind the scenes going on mm-hmm. in WrestleTalk. And the week after that will be After Dark.
Yes. Very excited for that.
Very excited.
And also, I bet you can't wait to review your favorite match, Chris Jericho versus Triple H, not Rock Hogan, crucially.
Oh, yeah, that is the main event, isn't it?
It's not Rock Hogan.
No, it's another boring Triple H main event.
Main event, yeah.
It's got a real slew of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people always point to Hogan for those boring WrestleMania main events, but Trips has got his number. almost doubled in terms of bad WrestleMania main events. But we've also got our very special $25 and above pledge hammers that get shouted out on this very show, like the venerable Jesse Venable,
the cleaner Kenny Sharp,
the British Bulldog Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.,
WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer Rodrigo Benitez,
he can last Sean Fur longer than you in the ring,
Starbucks Stephen Costa,
Shield Maiden the Zornice,
Will the MS Warrior Stewart,
Andrew Gifford the Big Red Dog,
Andrew Gifford.
That's what I said.
You said Gifford.
Oh, sorry. Andrew Gifford, the Big Red Dog.
He rhymes with Clifford, you see.
I see.
The Shrockmaster, Austin Shrock.
Shawn Michaels' biggest fan, Brett Guy.
And finally, for the Hall of Fame class of the 7th of March, 2023, Chris Hellfire Brimstone.
Thank you all so much for our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon. Right, ding, ding, ding. This is your last call for Ultra Chats. Get them in. Justin Edelheit kicks us off. Do you guys think that WWE are going to make a four-way at Mania for the Raw Women's Championship? WWE had Bianca face Carmella this week and is facing Chelsea Green next week's Made Me Question.
No.
Nope. I think it's very much a one-on-one match.
Yeah, they're spinning their wheels because they don't know what to do with the feud. They were like, well, we'll just have them face other people.
Streamlabs loses usernames, right?
Mm-hmm.
This next one has an opening sentence that really upsets me about that.
Oh, dear.
Because this is another unknown user, and their first sentence is, I hope my username shows up like it didn't yesterday. Anyway, this person can use, please do let our moderators know. Said, Gargano's win being a backdrop to a 7-year feud makes me think Vince does still have some control. Got no reaction, not appreciated by fans or the company, so it's time we went somewhere else, I think.
Well,
I
we'll
think
see.
That is a bit late now.
Yes.
He signed a new deal with WWE. 35 Antonio, funniest thing on the whole show was USA censoring Holy S and F Logan.
And not F Logan.
And not F Logan. Vince clearly grew with a mustache so people wouldn't recognize him backstage. Cena teasing retirement on Twitter. Mm. Also, I can't believe Luke is defecting to GIR on Pete's birthday of all days. I didn't say contract tampering, Pete. I don't know why you keep mentioning this. I didn't say those words.
I don't know what you're talking about, Luke.
Happy birthday, Pete.
It's not my birthday.
Kevin said, I saw some people not liking the Cena Theory segment, but I loved it. Theory held his own. I don't think he did that. But Cena really killed it. Most segments advanced stories on this show, so I was expecting a little bit more about Cody than just a run-in at the end. Also, love Ali's character.
I think Theory, the stuff that Theory said was good, but Cena just absolutely destroyed him, and Theory didn't have a comeback other than, yeah, well... and, like, that was his whole comeback.
See you at Mania, then.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin continues, I'm not sure Jay saving Jimmy is the only reason he turned on Sammy. My theory is that Jay was hurt by Sammy turning on Roman, mm-hmm. who was too emotional to attack him at the Royal Rumble. But the way he attacked him last night makes me think he always wanted to turn on him.
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure on that one either. Tails P, Asuka dressed like Majima from Yakuza made me realize that that's what I want her to be. Just let her kill people like she did in NXT. Remember her feud with Emma and Dana when they tried to interfere and she just laid out her opponent while staring them down?
That was good stuff.
Awesome. Yes. And Triple H booked that.
Yeah.
Like he's literally got the template in front of him of how to book Asuka on the main roster. And Dana was like, I've tried nothing and I'm all out of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Koji Moons, to quote AJ Styles in relation to the Vince and creative rumors, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying there's some stuff about it which makes you think it's true.
Yeah.
That is my favorite comment of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. That's really good. Ben Greenwood, generally don't understand the Cena segment. I felt bad for Austin in a weird way. It did feel authentic, but it did nothing for him. I feel like his path has been upwards after Elimination Chamber. Austin had nothing for Cena on the mic, and it made him look stupid.
I agree.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
Marcel Arts, what an awesome show. Cody, Sammy, Seth, Gunther, Drew, Cesaro, Malachi Black, Brian Danielson, Eddie Kingston, all of them and more have been part of WXW 16 karat gold in the past. And this weekend is at it again. You're missing out and you are missed.
Thank you, Marcel. You know, 1 year I might go.
Yeah, I know. Well, Ollie's now, I think, you know, he said on the Revolution yesterday, he just wants WWE to shut WXW now so we can stop these chats coming in. And if WWE can't do it, I wonder if Ollie will just do it himself. Just, you know, or he's always looking for new investments. He's just going to buy WXW and just shut it down.
Yeah, that's the best way to use it, I think.
Or just to stop Dan and Marcel Arts once a year asking if we're going to come to 16 karat gold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom great. Solisano has gifted 5 Memberg ships. You
do,
are awesome.
Do 5 claps?
Let's do it. Terrible audio. Charles Berg, I need some advice. Why did my last Cody lyric kind of work? I thought it just had to be 7 syllables. Saved Sammy for 3 Osos is 7. I'm trying to put together a full version, but the hook would be, my father said when I was younger, he got a bicycle.
The reason it didn't quite work is because the syllables don't quite fit together. Even though the syllables technically fit, the flow between the words doesn't quite work.
That's the one. Adrenaline in my soul. Like that's 3 syllables right there.
Adrenaline in my soul. Save Sammy from 3 Usos. It's like, it's a 3 Usos. It's a weird, there's a grammatical term for it when you have 2 vowel sounds next to each other. Can't
Bad.
Remember. Yeah. But
Wrong.
It doesn't quite work, yeah.
And lastly here for now, Joseph Ray has been a member for 19 months in a row, said, hey guys, Luke, since you're a cool nerd like me, what's your new thoughts on the new TMNT movie announcement? I think it looks like it'll be pretty all right. I have not actually watched it yet. So, I was recording yesterday with Ollie doing the Revolution review, mm-hmm. and as I finished, the trailer dropped, mm-hmm. and I was like, don't watch it.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch this. Where I'm at right now, I've got to just saw some stuff, have a cutscene. I don't want to watch this right now.
Yeah.
And then I got home yesterday and my kid struggled to go down to bed. And then I was recording my podcast from 8:30 mm-hmm. until midnight.
Yeah.
And Crikey. Yeah. And then I was just like, I'm again, not in the right frame of mind to watch the trailer. And then I was up at 6 to watch Raw this morning. Mm-hmm. And then I've been working nonstop since I've got into work today. So I just have not found the time to watch it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have an extensive chat about it on my other Patreon show that I do, because the toys were leaked a couple of weeks ago. And I love the Mitchell versus Machines animation style. So I'm so, like, I love the fact that they've got them involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a wicked cast. As a TMNT head, I'm just like, oh man, Leatherhead, Mondo Gecko. They're like, you're bringing out all the cool characters. Like, I think it's gonna be a really, really fun like celebration of TMNT and stuff. And mm-hmm. I love any iteration or new take on the turtles.
So here's a weird comparison that I don't know if it's gonna work here. Is it gonna be like how Spider-Verse was to Spider-Man? That kind of like love letter to that franchise.
I feel like it might be like even the logo. When me and like my friend Ash were talking about it on our podcast, like the logo for it, Mutant Mayhem. I was like, this looks like a 90s reboot of Turtles after the franchise had been flagging since like the death of the 87 series.
Yeah.
And you know, they're basically being like, what can we do? We'll call it Mutant Mayhem. And they created this big logo for it. It's like, we'll release a whole new set of toys and whittle-a-whee. And they were like, and then no one buys the toys.
Mm.
That's kind of the vibe I got from it. It felt like a big 90s reboot of the series. So I'm very curious. And what I've heard is that the trailer is genuinely quite good.
Mm.
I'm really cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Also, the unknown user was Nathan Coley.
Thank you, Nathan.
A 2 vowel sound is a diphthong.
Yes, it is, which is a funny word.
A diphthong.
Diphthong.
I'm watching a lot of Great British Menu at the moment, mm-hmm. and they keep talking about like foams and stuff that are called espumas. Which is like
silly word.
You know, the chef there with a courgette espuma. Just every time I look at my wife and go, spooma's a funny word.
Okay, spooma.
And then later on, like one of the guests on there said, what is a spooma? And Tom Kerridge just went, oh, it's the Spanish word for foam. And I was like, oh, you cheeky bastards. You've just been doing foams. You've been doing parsnip foams this whole time. Then lying and saying it's an espuma. Anyway, the poll.
Yes, let's do that.
I'm going to end the poll. It is very favorable this week. We have got 76% saying thumbs up, 21% saying thumbs in the middle, 2% thumbs down.
I think that's fair.
That is a very, very good score for Raw this week.
Yeah.
But that is all we've got time for on this show. Our moderators will be putting out links to our brand new channel that we're going to be launching, Cutscene. I'm going to be doing video essays, like 20, half an hour, minute essays about video game movies. We're going to be launching that in April. We're going to be doing a live Q&A session tomorrow to kind of talk about the project a little bit more as we try and get our way to 1,000 subs as quickly as we can so YouTube will like us. And please do click subscribe if you are first time here, because tomorrow is the next episode of Worst Match Ever.
I can't wait.
It might be the best one yet.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it might be the best one yet. And I cannot wait for you all to see it. That's out tomorrow. Did come out yesterday because of the Revolution review. So tomorrow at 3 p.m. Thank you all so much for watching. I've been Luke, I'm in DAD. That has been Pete. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.